This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast, fueled by Guinness, powered by celery. I am, of course, Stamford Chidge, and the title of tonight's show is Caviar and Turds.
Oh, I know that title, Chidge.
Yes. It's been stolen by me. As we were saying, actually, before we went on air, it's a momentous moment for JK. I mean, he's been doing this show with me, I don't know, easily 10 years now.
Oh, it's more than that.
Is it more than that? Christ almighty.
25 years.
No wonder we're looking old. And this is the first time that I've actually stolen a title from him. So kudos to JK. I'd say kudos to JK.
Which I wouldn't say stolen. I would say appropriated.
I would say lent.
I would say borrowed. I would say lent givingly, friendlily.
Yes. We're not Scousers. We don't steal. We appropriate.
Yeah.
So, my dear old thing, you are both, in fact, my eyes and ears tonight, because I was gallivanting around Portsmouth drinking heavily with Tony.
We saw.
Yeah, I had a great time, actually.
Yeah, much better time than we had.
Well, yes, although I ruined it slightly because, I mean, we were having so much fun, I totally ignored the fact that we were playing. And basically, somebody said that we had scored, and then somebody said we had equalized, and somebody said, or they had equalized, and somebody said they'd gone, and then suddenly Tony and I got interested, and I remembered I had Flash Score on my mobile, and I remember we actually watched on my phone. This is like takes you back to the when we used to have to watch teletext. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was a bit like that. So I'm watching my phone, which if anybody's got Flash Score, it has the real time seconds ticking past. Tony and I were looking at my phone, willing Chelsea to score a third goal. And then suddenly the numbers went black and it was like, for fuck's sake. Anyway, enough of me prattling on. We've got the lovely JK.
Oh, he's the brain of Stamford Bridge. He's the brain. He's joining everybody. He's the brain of Stamford Bridge. Whoa.
Haven't you got you played a song for Martin the other day?
You put me on the. You queued me up and I had to do it. I've got actually got that recorded already.
Okay.
I might play it again later on. I've got everything. Mark, the idea now is that everybody has a sting, you see. But the
I've got
is,
my own jingle, have I?
Yeah. That was it. I've just done it. So that I'll do it again. I'll put a guitar behind it. That's all. So everybody's got a tune, you know.
I reckon I can play audio in. I've figured out how to do it.
He said that. Well, I might send it to you because I did something called "Bright as a Button" I've forgotten.
Martin. Oh, yeah, it's only Friday, mate. It's Martin.
It's only Friday. Yeah,
my brain. Are you still with us, dear?
Yeah.
One lamp or two?
Who are you? You remind me of somebody I know.
Welcome to the Chelsea Dementia Podcast.
Yeah, on Friday. And it goes, it's deadly, bright as a button. Jimmy McGregor, and he slightly objected, didn't he, Martin? He slightly objected, let's be honest.
No. Somebody who was listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube objected to you being borderline racist to Irish people.
Yeah. You know, but also Martin wasn't.
Oh yeah, but you know, I am. So what? For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And be careful. You got another Irish person on tonight.
Another bloody Paddy tonight, mate.
Excuse me. My father was from Belfast. It's not any of this.
Forest. That's Northern Ireland.
It's different, isn't it? It's Northern Ireland. Yes, of course. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. He's a unionist. Sorry. Yeah. Not proper Irish. Yeah.
Keep digging, JK. Oh, dearie me. I'm gonna rescue you, bless your heart. You've had a hard weekend. Right. As ever, don't forget
you. Chelsea, sorry to interrupt, but going to Chelsea at the moment is really, it's really hard, isn't it, Mark? It's really going away. Despite the fact you're with, you know, the atmosphere was also crap because everybody was just so fed up. You can feel it. You're tangible. And then they did all the anti, you know,
well,
all the.
We'll come to that.
I know. But I just want to
keep your powder dry. Keep your powder dry.
Well, that's what they used to say on the Nelson. On Nelson, didn't they?
Well,
Nelson
actually, you know, I learned all of these. I learned exactly what a toe rag is.
Really? What was it?
Well, a toe rag was basically kind of Georgian bog roll. So what they had was this special cloth, right, which was towed at the end of the boat. The rag was towed. You would haul it up, wipe your ass, drop it back into the sea where it would be cleaned for the next person to use.
It would be sortily clean, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And they had square plates, hence a square meal. I learned so much. It was wonderful. All of these
things, I love it. I love that.
Yeah, no, it was great. You should have come, man. You'd have loved it. Right, listen.
I was watching a game of football.
Oh, that's right, yes. Anyway, as ever, don't forget you can listen to the show
live.
Well done, every Monday and Friday at 7:30 p.m. by going to Mixlr, or of course when we do it at 8 like we have tonight, but Chelsea-fancastmixlr.com, where of course you can join in the chat by posting on the live chat page, or now you can watch our ugly mugs as we stream the shows live on YouTube.
Live!
Yes, and yes, exactly, and our Facebook page, so there you go. Right, you can follow us on all the socials at Chelsea Fancast. Listen and subscribe on YouTube, Acast, Spotify, Apple, all good podcast platforms. Make sure you leave us a glowing 5-star review as well. Now, I should say at this juncture that we do have a Patreon account, which basically means you bung us a few quid every month, and we are eternally in your debt and very grateful. If you do that, I mean, go to patreon.com/Chelsea Fancast. But if you do that, if you send me your address, I will send you a Kerry Dixon banner, a little mini replica banner of the one that hangs the Matthew Harding. And of course, you can join our Discord group, which is like the, well, I now have to say YouTube chat room, Mixlr chat room, Facebook chat room. So really, really good people congregate in there. Mark's probably in Mixlr, if I know Mark. And it's like that 24/7, really good people in there. You'll love it. Anyway, join in. It's all good, clean fun. Right now, just a two-parter tonight. Basically all Brentford Chelsea, so strap yourselves in. Quite a difficult show for me to do, JK, seeing as I only saw these. I tell you what, mate, this depressed me, you know. I mean, I was way too pissed to watch anything on Saturday night, and I was in the hotel, so I got back on Sunday hugely hungover. And of course, because I do my duty, like Nelson, I did my duty and I watched the highlights on Match of the Day. Well, you know where you are in the world when Chelsea are on last on Match of the Day and got a mere 2 minutes and about 10 seconds chat. So that's what I'm basing the entire show on tonight. But the first thing I'm going to say I did know this because I did see the team before they went out. He basically played three at the back and no Sterling, which I thought was interesting because I'm glad to see that Sterling wasn't started, obviously. You know, he's obviously pushed Chilwell and Gusto up. I later then found out that he did it because he was really trying to protect the space around Fernandes and Moises, who are clearly knackered, which begs the question, why couldn't you fucking pick somebody else then? I actually suggested on Friday that one of them should be rested, didn't I? Remember?
I think I said on Friday also that he might make some changes that were different from the ones that we'd come up with in the...
You were dead right.
But we were all pleased about Sterling not playing, but bless his cotton socks, he actually made a difference when he came on after the 83rd minute, wasn't it, I think.
I can tell you when he came. Do you really want to know?
Tell me.
He came on in the 79th minute.
I was almost 83 then, almost. Yeah, he came on. But he actually, you know, he made a difference down the wing. I mean, I think what you have to establish is that having spoken to the wonderfully eloquent Greville on Friday, who was absolutely brilliant, I have
brilliant,
to say.
Brilliant, wasn't he? Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic, fantastic. It was all reserves and 13 injuries. And the fact that we ended up toe-to-toe with that and that they played much better than us in the second half was just embarrassing. It's the embarrassment I keep finding of watching them. But yes, to answer your question, I didn't quite understand what the pattern was and whether it was to stop them from being tired. Why didn't he give Cassidy a go? Why didn't he give somebody a go who isn't exhausted? I mean, the consequence of this is that for me, Enzo didn't do much and neither did Connor. I can't remember seeing Connor very much in the game. But Mark, if you saw it, I found it. Connor and Enzo. I have to say, I thought Moises was excellent.
Okay.
Really excellent. He's getting better and better. He's doing that kind of Makalele thing of sort of, you know, stretching his leg out and embracing his opponent whilst kicking the ball away.
What was that bloke called with the telescopic legs? Inspector Gadget, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's got Inspector Gadget written all over him, Chief.
Written all over him, mate.
All over him. we're going to get onto it. The outstanding player was Gusto, who's becoming a...
You've fallen in love, haven't you?
But he was wonderful. Gushing. He was brilliant. He was completely brilliant. Every time he got the ball, he looked dangerous. He rushed past his the fullback and got a decent centre in. And he's tenacious. And the very fact that we all thought that because he got the slightly dubious, I'm not sure whether you can sing it anymore, but "Allo, Allo, Malo Gusto" song.
Did he really?
And he felt at the end of the game. He, on his own, they were all singing him. He came over first to all of us, whoa, the closest to all of us, kissing the badge and gave his shirt to somebody in the crowd. And I thought, that was the first time I thought there's a connection with a player this season who has played his socks off and we're telling him that he's played his socks off and we loved him for it. And it was
so
great.
What was it? Malo Gusto, Malo Gusto,
Malo Gusto. Particularly original song.
But I don't care.
No, I don't care either. And the O's fit rather beautifully, don't they? Allo, allo, yes. Allo, Gusto. Yeah. I like that. It's good. So, but yes. So, you know, I think we're slowly but surely establishing little crumbs of comfort from this complete pile of shit that we're seeing this season. But anyway, I digress. Let Mark have a go now because I've otherwise
you need to go for a bit of a sleep, don't you?
No, and I'll get angry. I'll get angry otherwise. Now I'm on the verge of getting angry. So
he's covered all the exciting bits. Yeah, in that.
He's had the caviar.
No, I haven't. There were moments in it, Chidge. Sorry. There were moments in it that were excellent.
I want more caviar. Yeah, yeah.
There were moments in it when we were quite good. And there were moments in it when, you know, the clown car that as driven by Jackson, just, you know, that wonderful moment when he took the ball around the goalkeeper and took it too wide and then tapped it in towards the goal. For fuck's sake. But, you know, and he's got a good header. But, there, you know, anyway, Mark, yes.
I think you have covered the whole game, the highlights.
Welcome, Mark. Welcome to my world. Why do I bother writing a script when he does part two in the first 3 minutes?
Was there a script tonight?
Yeah, apparently there was. Don't tell anybody.
I never saw it.
I did actually email it.
It's called Caviar and Turds.
I would call it Jekyll and Hyde, which is ironically, and I know you'll plug it later, the article written by Mr. Worrell. That's the title of his article in CSC UK. It was a real Jekyll and Hyde performance. There was bits in the game where we played well. There was bits where JK mentioned Connor and Enzo, where Connor and Enzo did really positive things. But there was like Hyde performance. There was Jekyll performances where we just had some really poor parts. So you got to half time and you thought 1-0 up, and it was a superb goal by Jackson. I think it was Dean who said it, I think on a previous show, the positive about Jackson is despite the chances he misses, he doesn't get his head down. And that was a shocking miss when he dribbles around the goalkeeper and allowed
it. It was awful.
Absolutely. And you can always tell a bad miss where, if you were recording it, the amount of fucking hells, Jackson, people said around me was phenomenal. Because people, it would have been a really good goal. It was a team goal, good passing movement, dribbles around the keeper, puts it in. And it was such a poor finish. But he doesn't let it get him down. And that header was an absolutely superb header. And Gusto's ball to him was excellent. So you had that moment, you think, we haven't played brilliantly. We've had moments in the game. We've played badly in spells as well. But we're a far better team than Brentford. We're 1-0 up at half-time. Surely, to be to goodness, we'll come out and we'll put a good 45 minutes in the second half. And we'll win this game comfortably. Because we were heading down when we saw the team. And I think most people were pleased with the team. They thought, actually, we haven't played three at the back since September. And I know it sort of panned out more as a 3-5-2 or 3-4-1-1, whatever.
It's Tuchel ball.
Yeah. But on first look, I thought it was going to be a 3-4-3. We knew Brentford's B team were playing in defence. So I actually thought he was going to really go for it down the wings. Chile and Gusto would be really far forward wing backs. And at times they were, you know, in the first half. But I don't know what happened at half time. But for that early part of the second half, we never came out. I really have no idea what happened in his team talks, because they, for the first 15 minutes of that second half, were just non-existent. And we allowed Brentford back into the game when they weren't really in the game. Their crowd was flat. And that got the crowd going. We fell behind. And then, obviously, I know we're going to talk about it. There was a bit of hostility towards the administration, towards Pochettino.
But we shouldn't have got...
That's fine. We should not have got ourselves into that position. We were the better team in the first half. We could clearly have been a couple of goals ahead, story of our season, if we'd taken our chances.
I mean,
but it was just... It was very frustrating how we allowed ourselves to get into that mess.
Well, I'm gonna go back to Jackson, and I want to spend a bit of time on the second half shenanigans, because somebody's done some very interesting stats about that. But I had a chat with Kerry on the way down from London today, who sends his best, and we were talking about Jackson, because I'm warming to him. Actually, I am warming to him. Actually, Kerry and I both said he's absolutely shit. But he scores goals. But it's exactly what Dino said last week, JK. You know, he never gives up. I mean, you just saw everything about Jackson in one match. He misses. It was such a bad miss, you had to laugh. Then he scores a brilliant goal. And then he's got such a massive ego. He's like shushing the Brentford fans. And I mean, actually, Connor had to take his hand out and said, mate, fucking behave. But he doesn't give up, and I can't, you know what, and I talked to Kerry about this, and he agreed. He said, yeah, you know, you've got to have a massive ego to be a striker, and if you miss a sitter, you've got to get back up and have another go. And you know what, he does that, and I'm kind of warming to him. I think he's quite a character in his own mad sort. He's quite mad, I think, as well. I am warming to him, JK.
Isn't this a different world, Chidge, where you warm to a striker?
Yeah, I warm to Timo Werner.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's,
I fell in love with Didier Drogba.
Yeah, well, yeah. 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 You know, aren't we making allowances? Warming. Warming to players.
But this is where we are, JK. This is where we are.
All right, well, let's lower the bar so completely that we just, you know.
lower than a snake's belly, mate.
In a wheel rut.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I don't know.
Who else can we warm to in the side?
Well, I don't know. Should we do that now? Let's do it now. I like Petrovic a lot, actually. I'm going to look at the lineup actually, because that would be fairer to do it, wouldn't it?
Just Cole will decidedly cold over because I think
I'm warming to Colwell because Colwell, I don't think he's the full ticket yet, but I think he likes Chelsea. That's enough for me. I do love Chelsea.
I like Chelsea. Can I play?
Yeah, I love you though. I've gone beyond warming to you. Obviously,
oh, sweet, thank you.
Chaloba, Trevo, I love actually. You know, because I just do. There's something about Trevo I love. I kind of like De Zerzi too. I'm warming to him because I think he's a bit of a beast, and I think he celebrated that goal like it was the winning goal in the Cup World Cup final.
It's not about celebrations, Chid. It's about not giving the ball away. And
JK, I'm a very simple. I have a very simple view of football.
Oh,
as
I forgot. Low bar. Sorry. Forgot. Yeah.
Malo Gusto. I like Malo Gusto.
Hi, Bar.
I've definitely fallen in love with Gallagher. I'm definitely in love with Chilwell because he's won the European Cup.
Wasn't great on Saturday.
Apparently so. Fernandes and Caicedo, massive jury out on both of those two.
I'm fond of Caicedo. I think we've got.
I'm jury out on those.
I think he's evolving. Enzo, just to me, just whether he's too knackered. If he's knackered, don't play him, Poch. You know.
Yeah, well, you gonna let me finish this? I'm jury out on those two. I like Palmer. I'm kind of falling in love with Palmer because he's got a good song, and I'm warming to Jackson. So there you go. That's the side he picked. I mean, actually, that's pretty good, really, if you think about it.
I didn't realise they were so good, Chidge. I'm watching a different team.
I know. No. I didn't say that. I mean, most of them are complete shit. But I kind of warm to them and or love them anyway because I'm that kind of a guy, you know.
This is 1979, isn't it?
It is a bit. Do you know what? Fuck me, it is, isn't it? Seriously. I had a chat with Gary Chivers, who we should do a Troubadour gig with sometime, by the way. But I had a chat with Gary Chivers, and he was when I did that interview with him and Martin King. And he said exactly that. He said, look, you know, we knew we were shit, and we knew that you knew that we were shit. But we fucking tried our hearts out. And that's kind of why you loved us, wasn't it? And I said, actually, Gary, bang on. You were definitely shit, but we loved you because you ran your bollocks off for us. And that's really all we asked. So, interesting point. Anyway, we digress. Where was I? Second half. Yes, it's a fact. Let's talk about these statistics. Oh, my God. Arsenal 4-0 up after 24 minutes against Sheffield United. Right? Fuck me.
I had him down for 6-0, I think.
You're on for it. I had 4-1, so I'm in serious danger here. This could be an 8-0.
I think I did, yeah.
All right, now look, forgive me, because I do not know who put this up originally. Sorry, I got a weird message from Leaf in Mixler. I don't know. I mean, you know, I've not done anything at all that we haven't done already. So I would suggest that if you're getting an audio problem on Mixler, you just refresh your Mixler or watch it on YouTube. Anyway, where was I? I know the show. Yes. Right. Okay. I have absolutely no idea where this came from. So I do apologize. I think it was the boys from that Chelsea podcast that put it up and drew my attention to it. But this is an analysis of Chelsea in the first half, right, the first half table away, second half table away. Okay, so if you'd stopped the game at half time, right, Chelsea would, and for our away games, would be second in the table. If you stopped it in the second half, Chelsea would be 16th. And I think that's away. In total, right, for all games, first half, Chelsea would be 8th. Second half, Chelsea would be 17th. I mean, so this is not a myth. This is for real. Chelsea a fucking pony in the second half. So it begs the question, like you were saying, Mark, what in God's name does he say to them at halftime? Actually, before you answer that, I was listening to Talk Sport on the way home tonight from Londinium. And, I mean, actually, Darren Bent, who I don't really have an awful lot of time for, but he actually was quite... He made a lot of sense, really. He was saying he thinks it's a mentality issue. He thinks that they kind of... I mean, I said this to Tony when I heard that Brentford had equalised and gone ahead. I said, mate, I can fucking see it now. They've all come out in the second half with a pint on the go and a cigar in the other hand. And there is that kind of thing. They do take their foot off the gas, perhaps. It is a mentality thing. Maybe the concentration goes. But I think it's a mentality thing, Mark.
It could be. I think the other thing that's frustrated me this season about our second half performances is I know the rules allow you to use five substitutions, but you don't have to. And Poch does seem to roll the dice with his substitutions most games. He didn't use all five subs on Saturday, but in many games this season, he's put all five subs on. And I actually think five subs is too many. And I think it does cause disruption to the team and to the rhythm of the team. So it's probably a bit of mentality. It's a bit pipe and slippers at halftime, cigarettes out, pint in hand. But I think it's also the disruption of the substitutions in the second half spoils the pattern of the team because he rarely takes defenders off too often. So it's always the midfield or the forward line that always seems to get substituted. So you have that period where either Sterling's coming on as a sub or he's being substituted, Mudrik's coming on or he's being substituted. And I don't think that helps. I think you need to sort of have a rhythm in the side and play five subs, you know, if you're getting players injured, but don't change for change's sake. Sometimes it's okay to keep the sort of formation you've got and the players you've got. Only change it if, say, you're losing, for example.
The trouble is, Mark, we come out dreadful and he doesn't then make the substitutes till later on. It's the fact that we've played decently for the 45 and then so I actually think it's down to him. I don't, because he surely must say, guys, don't take your foot off the gas, just go straight for it, you know, as he similarly in the League Cup final where they all came out absolutely
in extra time. Darren Bent was saying that opposition managers and players will know this. They will know that Chelsea come out with a cigar on the go in the second half. And he reckons that the managers say, right, come out in the second half and go for it, because they probably would have taken their foot off the gas.
They
catch us cold. I mean, you know, love him or loathe him, I think he makes a very good point, and it certainly bears out what we've seen. And those statistics are damning. Damning.
And Brentford did come out in the second half and they did have a go at us. And in the same way, the league game at Stamford Bridge, they got both their goals in the second half. Brentford didn't make any changes. They were behind. They didn't actually make any substitutions until later on in the game. And we made our substitution, of course, obviously, when we went 2-1 behind. But for those first 15 to 20 minutes of the second half, we were nowhere. We just weren't in the game.
They pushed up. Pushed up, Mark. They pushed up. They didn't lie back. And they started pressing, which they hadn't been doing in the first half. So they're all the energy of the first half. And we just cannot deal with the press. We cannot
But also, if you look at their playing records, they had a shocking record coming into that game. I think they'd only won one game since Christmas. Yeah. And then they had a weakened side. Like, yeah, I looked at that team. And I didn't recognise half the players in the Brentford team.
They're all injured.
But yet, that first 15, 20 minutes second half, Brentford was superb. As you say, they pushed up against us. That got the crowd going, because the crowd is very flat at Brentford. And because it's just a sort of a tight ground, they can generate a lot of noise, Brentford fans, from the times they've been there before. And they were very quiet in the first half. We let them back into it. And so, again, I just don't know what goes on during that half-time interval, because you would just say, look, we're 1-0 up. Let's not do anything stupid and just make the game safe by getting an early second goal. And it was so similar to that extra time period the week before against Liverpool. We just never came out. We were just flat.
But also there were some terrible defensive errors. The second goal was ludicrous, that the bloke got the opportunity for the overhead kick, not from a Chelsea head, but from a Brentford ahead, and everybody just stood about. You could actually see Casado and someone else, was it Connor, I think, just standing about. Nobody makes a challenge. You just think, what's going on in their heads here? Are they not aware that two Brentford players are in the box ahead of them unmarked? All it needs is for the ball to actually come to one of them. And all that bloke wanted to do, as was revealed on Match of the Day, was do the... that was their main thing about
the game. Tried it three times, didn't he?
Yeah. Tried it three times.
You know, I could great goal. Great goal.
See up the other end, unfortunately, because the sun was in our eyes. And I just, this looked to me as if the ball, nobody had challenged him and he kicked the ball in from a low level. But nobody challenged him and he did an overhead kick. That was all that we discovered. But we knew that, I could see that nobody had challenged him from, you know, the end of the other end of the pitch. Which I don't understand why this kind of lethargy overtakes them. And it's something the manager should surely be dealing with. I have to say that Mudryk came on and it altered. Mudryk came on and played instead of had all the energy. We played him in this strange midfield position that he plays again. And he's, you know, he's sprightly, more sprightly than Enzo was, gets a couple of movements in, plays the ball around. And Gusto started playing out of his skin. The ball, they kept getting the ball chipped over the top, and he's running for it and getting in the centres. And it was suddenly a different, we were different and we scored the goal, rightly so. And then the last few minutes, we should have scored another one. But of course we didn't. So,
what happened there? I didn't see that. Sorry, go on, Mark.
Yeah, don't you feel a degree of sympathy for Mudryk? Because obviously the Leeds game the other night, I thought Mudryk did all right. He scored. Yeah, so yeah. That does. And we said on previous shows, he does seem to be a confidence player and you have to put your arm around him. So he's played against Leeds. He's had a good game by his recent standards. He's got himself a goal. And it seems every time he comes into the side and scores, he's
every benched, time
he's benched the next game.
Every
so
time.
I do have a hell of a lot of sympathy for him, because any player, to be consistent, you can't just keep coming in and out of the team half an hour. You need a run in the side. And when he came on, I thought he made a difference. And then he played his part in the corner. So he played a part in the equaliser.
Mm. Which was a good goal, it has to be said. What was the one you're talking about where we could have won it then? Because I obviously didn't get that on Match of the Day. They didn't bother with that.
Well, no, just our energy was such that we were just, you know, in their half and centering the ball. We're on top. We shifted from after the goal.
They were playing with a bit of gusto, were they?
With a huge amount of gusto.
And I don't know if they showed it on Match of the Day, but Palmer had a great chance.
Yes.
That he should have scored.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Oh, they did show. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He should have scored with that one. That was a good move again. Gusto came down the right, ball into Palmer, should have put it in the net.
Yeah, he did. I mean, He fucks off
down the tunnel before, but doesn't come over and say goodbye to anybody, to wave it.
Okay, name and shame. Who came over and who didn't?
He certainly didn't.
Gusto and Chilwell came over.
So did Mudryk. So did Chalabar. So did but they didn't come as far.
No, they sort of stood and applauded. Where Gusto and Chilwell actually came over and they gave their shirts to kids in the front.
Fair enough. I mean, look, you know, we did claw it back. You know, it was a bit stupid to go behind, particularly to a very poor Brentford side, but we did. You know, De Zarzi should be applauded for scoring a goal, of course. But I think what frustrates me is that we should never have had to against, you know, Brentford's reserves. Like you said, you know, you didn't even recognise most of the players playing there. It's just another dodgy result, really. And it underlines exactly what you were saying, Mark, about the whole Jekyll and Hyde nature of this side. I mean, it's been fascinating, you know, kind of not going to the match this weekend and listening to a lot of the media on it, which is interesting, actually, because it shows you I'm desperate to know what happened. Whereas if I had been there, I don't need to know what happened. And I certainly don't want them telling me what they think. So that's also Jekyll and Hyde, but never mind. I mean, the thing is, none of them have a Scooby. I mean, it doesn't matter what pundit you've listened to or I've listened to in the last few days. They said, well, what's going on with Chelsea? Will they be better next year? Nobody has a Scooby. They can't work it out either. So it is like there is some sort of kind of weird madness going on about this club at the moment. Nobody can understand what is going on, why we are so Jekyll and Hyde. When will it stop? I mean, Danny Kelly, who, for all of his Spursness, I actually really like Danny Kelly. He said something today, which was really quite pertinent. He said, this is Chelsea. He said, I keep, you know, kind of muscle memory keeps telling me that they're going to click in a minute, and they don't. And I can't understand it. And I said, yes, Danny, yes, that's exactly it. So are we, mate. So are we. And it just doesn't seem to happen.
He's right. We've clicked this season, and we've clicked in certain games. And just when you think we've turned the corner, we turn up and we put a performance in, whether that performance was Man City away or Villa away or Man City at home or Arsenal at home. And they put a performance in and you think, we've now turned the corner. And then I think I said it on the way down to the game on Saturday, and I actually got it wrong. I just said it feels at the moment we're two games away from a crisis. Actually, no, we're about 45 minutes away from a crisis if Saturday was anything to go by. We just can't put anything together in terms of a decent run of results. And I think that's just reflected how people are responding, because I think I was really surprised how quickly, you know, people sort of turned on the team. Because
Pause that for a minute.
Okay, yeah.
Because we are going to do that to death in part two. Yeah. I mean, they're very Al Pacino, aren't they? Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. I mean, they really are fucking mad.
No, it's reversed. Just when we're in, they pull him back out. Well, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah. Yes. Like Tim Rolls' wonderful tweet about sowing what you reap.
You got to read first. Yeah.
He was so angry. I think he got it all muddled up. Right, we will be having a break in a jiffy. But before we do, we're going to do our usual thing. I mean, having not been at the game, I haven't actually read my copy of CFC UK. But I do believe. Well, don't give. Yes, flash it on the screen so people can see. There you go. I do believe that Mark's read my article. Which I kind of
as you weren't there, I thought in tribute to you, I'd read your article first on Saturday, because normally you'd read your article first. And you weren't there, so I did it for you. It's a good issue. Yeah, there's a good mix of things in there. Tim's article is very well worth reading. I mentioned Marco's as well. Yeah, fair play to DJ. You know, after all these years, he's still knocking out a really great fanzine.
Yeah, good.
George was there Saturday, so he managed to get a ticket lastminute.com for George. So George has helped him sell the fans in. Yeah.
Brilliant. I can't remember what I wrote about. Was it any good?
Yeah, it was a good read. As I said, like it's you're called Think Local Act Global. Yeah.
Mm. They're now 5-0 up Arsenal, so that's fucked my predictions right up. Thank you, Arsenal. Right, CFC UK, the new one is out, as Marcus has proved by showing it to us. If you want a copy, then obviously the first thing to do is to go to the CFC UK stall, which is opposite Fulham Broadway, and meet DJ and Marco and Chuckles and whoever else is there. Usually a few of us are there. Or buy it from somebody along the Fulham Road going, hurry up, it's only £1.
They don't actually as much. They don't say hurry up. I questioned one the other day. Why aren't you saying hurry up? I said,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, mate.
It's not copywritten. I mean, if you sell the fanzine, it's part of the contract. You're supposed to say, hurry up, it's only £1.
It's the youngster.
Yeah. He's not been trained yet properly.
Bloody youth. Yeah. No, DJ's probably trained him. He's just being all youth about, oh, I'm not saying it, but it's a part of the contract. You sell the fanzine, you have to say, hurry up, it's only £1. Anyway. You can get it on the away matches, as these boys have proved. But actually, if you can't get to the matches, do not panic. You can subscribe to CFC UK by emailing fanzine@cfcuk.net and subscribe for a year. I mean, I would imagine actually you might as well wait until the new season. But anyway, whatever. It's £20 for a subscription for a year in the UK, £45 if you're in Europe, £60 for the rest of the world. And you can also get this emailed to you digitally if you would prefer it than a hard copy, and it's £6 for a year subscription.
Digitally.
Did I say what I said?
Yeah, digitally.
I think I'm a bit brain damaged from the drinking I did with Tony on Saturday night. Mate, shots were fired.
Were you suitably refreshed?
I had a kind of a turquoise coloured shot that tasted of chili that I have no idea what it was. And then somebody gave me I don't know. And then somebody gave me another shot and I said, shall I put it in my Guinness? And they said, no. Blop. But it was out of control. Out of control. I mean, I knew it was going to end badly because when I arrived at the pub, Tony and I were clearly very thirsty because we'd walked for bloody miles. And so we got Guinness in, and I said, Tone, I'm really thirsty. He said, yeah, good point. So we got a lager in as well. So we had two pints the minute we got there, and it kind of carried on in that vein, really. So
a lager chaser. I'm impressed.
Indeed. Well, we were thirsty. Anyway, you can, as I said, you can subscribe digitally. Is that better, Jonathan?
Digitally.
You can subscribe to the fanzine electronically by paying six pounds a year, or only a pound, and you can do all of that via PayPal. Yeah, don't fuck with me, Jonathan Kidd.
Sorry.
Right. The other thing is Chelsea Pitch Owners, as I say every week. If you want to actually physically own a piece of Chelsea, then this is how you do it. You get a CPO share, Chelsea Pitch Owners share. That means basically you have a share of the freehold of the stadium, which means you have a say in what happens to it in the future. This is very important, given that we are on the cusp of either redeveloping it or moving or whatever. CPO shareholders will have a say in that because they basically own the ground. If you want one of these, 110 quid for an electronic share, or even a digital share, you could say, or 175 quid there or thereabouts for framed share signed by a Chelsea player. I have one with Frank Lampard's signature on it, and I'm very proud of that. And if you want one of those, go to the Chelsea website, chelseafc.com, and search for Chelsea Pitch Owners. And not for the last time, although it will be soon, because we are now in the month of March. And that means that if you want to come along, you've heard me talking a little bit about Tony and I gallivanting around with Alex on Saturday around Portsmouth Dockyard, around the Victory and the Mary Rose and various pubs. It's kind of like a one-day version of the thing that we're planning for June, which is a long weekend trip to the Western Front. So that would be the Somme and Ypres, where we will be visiting a lot of World War One graves and cemeteries. We'll be going to real bucket list items like Teepval, Vimy Ridge. We're going to Arras, Ypres, obviously, Passchendaele. Yeah, Passchendaele. I mean, all of these. And you know, Alex, honestly, Alex and Dyer and Holmes are full of the most amazing knowledge about all this. They've also written a book on footballers in the First World War, many of whom were Chelsea players and Chelsea supporters. So there's a bit of a football theme to this, and they build it all around that. And also, if you have relatives who fought or died in the First World War in that area, they will do some research for you and take you to where they are buried if you haven't done that before. So it's a brilliant, brilliant trip, and all really good people, all love their football, all like a drink, all like appreciate good food, of which there is plenty because it's France and Belgium. Hotels are nice. It's fantastic. It's a trip of a lifetime. I mean, it's so good that me and Tony I've jumped at the chance to go back. Right, 21st to the 24th of June, from £649 per person. That's everything included apart from your food and drink. But you need to pay by March, end of March. So if you want to do this, you need to get on it. So come and join the fun. Istoria, Istoria, travel.org. You know what to do. Right, in a minute, we will be back with part two of the lovely, beautifully formed Chelsea Fancast. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cheech.
JK! In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry.
Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to Chidge and the Boys on the Chelsea Football Fancast. Total nutters and proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. We're back. I'm Stefan Chidge. This is the Chelsea Fancast. And I'm joined, of course, by the leg end that is Jonathan Kidd.
Bell end, surely.
Yes, my mistake. I'm joined by the bell end that is Jonathan Kidd.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Hello. We should be telling everybody, actually, that as part of our you know, basically, we're going to obliterate the world with Chelsea Fancast merchandise soon. So T-shirts and mugs will be available.
Great. That T-shirt with the team, with the Fancast team on it is going to be great.
You like that,
and
don't you?
There's going to be a Jonathan Kidd gnome as well, isn't there?
That's what I was about to say. And also a Jonathan Kidd / Chelsea Fancast branded turkey baster.
Yes, most definitely one of them.
you really want to have what you actually do look like a gnome. You dress for the occasion.
I'm developing this look. I am.
Yeah.
I'm happy to embrace the look, actually. So, you know.
So there we go.
Grow the beard down here. So,
you know. Yeah. No, so there we go. We may be joking, but we might not be. We're also joined by the absolute legend that is the wonderful, lovely Mark Meehan.
How are you, Mark? He's the brain of Stamford Bridge. He's the brain of Stamford Bridge. Everybody remember, he's the brain of Stamford Bridge. He's the brain of Stamford Bridge. Hey!
There we go. Nobody joined in. It's a good job you have no shame, isn't it, really?
And I didn't join in either. Apologies. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, good people in Mixlr. Good evening, people watching this in YouTube as well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the T-shirts. So if I've got the brain of Stamford Bridge, what's JK's song? Will it be David Bowie's The Laughing Gnome?
Ha ha! Like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gave him toasted toadstool, was it, and a glass of dandelion wine, and he put me in. Put him on the train to Eastbourne. He gave me a fag and I carried his bag. I think that's the lyric, isn't that one of the lyrics?
What about the Pretenders? What about the Pretenders, Kid?
Oh, kid, I'm only kid.
Well, we'll change the lyrics because it'd be a bit lovey-dovey, but, you know, I think maybe there's something
in there. I'm a laughing gnome, actually. Ha, ha,
okay.
Ha. I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me.
Yeah, it's much more, Jonathan, yeah.
It's much more
in
tune, much more, JK. Yeah.
Much more you, isn't it? Mark, how's life with you? I mean, how's things on the trust at the moment and the FAB? I mean, I know you're not allowed to talk about it, otherwise you shoot, or because you have to shoot us, but... Don't say anything untoward. Busy, no doubt.
I know it's taken up a lot of time. I think in terms of the trust, we're looking to organise a SGM meeting the day of the Burnley game. We've invited Chris from Chelsea Pitch Owners to come along. So again, we just have to sort out a venue and then we'll communicate it to our membership. Other things to promote that the trust are organising at the present moment in time would be the fifth year of the annual Stamford Bridge sleepouts. So I was in full sleepout mode today, sort of advertising that, highlighting that, looking to raise £30,000 this year on behalf of Stoll Veterans and Barons Court Homeless Project, an absolutely brilliant new charity we've got this year, who do amazing things for homeless people in Hammersmith and Fulham. And we're up against it in terms of the clock, but the fixtures have been moved about a bit, no surprise there. So the Chelsea women's game was going to be on Sunday, sort of 2 weeks' time. It's been moved to the Friday The Leicester game is now on Sunday. So we're trying to organise a heritage event in the tea bar on the evening of the Chelsea WSL game against Arsenal, because it will be Emma Hayes's last WSL game at Stamford Bridge. And actually, we want to look back on the history of sort of Chelsea women as well. So we're going to invite former managers, including the first ever manager, Tony Farmer. We've got former kits. So it's going to be tight. We've got less than 2 weeks to organise it, but hopefully we'll be able to do that. And then in terms of the fans advisory board, obviously can't go into too great a deal at the present moment in time, but obviously we're having a dialogue with the club at the present moment in time on an important matter, which will be sort of like ticketing. And we'll probably be able to sort of like share more about that in the coming weeks once the club has had a time to sort of like look at themselves at their next board meeting.
Good on you, Mark. Well done for all the work you do. Now, talking of the sleep out, people can sign up to join.
I forgot one thing. It was a busy day Friday. Again, I think people had picked up on it, but I want to remind people if they're on Mixlr or watching it on YouTube, was the fiasco about the Sheffield United game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And obviously bad enough that the game was moved to Sunday at 1:30 because the TV companies wanted the Manchester United game moved from the Wednesday to the Thursday. And Sheffield United wasn't on television. But nobody realised since 1929, Sheffield have held a running event in the city of Sheffield. And in more recently, in the last 20 years, they've actually had a half marathon runs around the city centre, including Bramall Lane. And nobody realised that was happening, even though the event has been organised for a year. So
Who knew?
Another kick in the teeth for football supporters, but kicking the teeth for Chelsea supporters. And there's been a few of those this season with games being changed at sort of short notice, the Wolves game being the prime example. So what we have said in the sort of comms we put out last week is if anybody is inconvenienced by this, and people are, you know, we've already had a number of responses back by Chelsea supporters and they have to pay for new train tickets, there's booking fees, and some people out of pocket by over £100. And some people now, you know, having to sort of book hotel accommodation because there's only one direct train back to London and two via Doncaster on that Sunday evening. So we've asked people to keep receipts. And I think we'll get to a closure point, but then we'll write to all the powers that be. We'll write to the Premier League. We'll write to the TV companies. We'll write to Sheffield United because they have to carry a lot of the responsibility because it was changed at their request. And we'll write to Chelsea as well. This just isn't good enough. You know, the way Chelsea supporters and football supporters generally are actually being treated. No guarantees that people will get any kind of money back. But, yeah, we want to raise this issue and we'll make sure all the powers that be are aware of it. It's a really shocking way to treat supporters.
Yeah, quite right too. Now, the sleep out. People can actually take part in this, can't they? Which, as in they can sleep out. Do you want to tell people, a little bit more about that and also how they can sign up to sleep out?
Yes, if they want to go onto the Chelsea Supporters Trust website, the link will take you there to Eventbrite, and you can register at Eventbrite to take part in the sleep out. And through there, there'll also be a link to the Just Giving website, where you can set up your own individual Just Giving page, where as you get your sponsorship through, the money will go 50-50 between the two charities, Stole Veterans and the Barons Court Homeless Project. We've raised £3,000 already. So we've got 3 weeks to go, and ideally we'd like to raise £30,000 for two excellent charities. And we'd like to see as many people as possible either take part by coming along on the evening. If you've never done it before, it is a really enjoyable evening spent in the company of fellow sort of Chelsea supporters. And you will never, ever replicate the experience of what it is to sleep rough. You can never actually do that. You know, we are quite sort of like looked after, there's security there, but it is cold, you know, especially on the East End concourse. But it's more about an educational thing and give people an insight just for one night of their lives where they're not in the comfort of their own beds with, you know, with their duvet and their central heating system and just sleeping out on a bit of cardboard and a sleeping bag. And it's worked so well, you know, that people come back each year and they raise money and just feel they're making a difference in some people's lives. And that money, you know, is always being put to good use and will continue to be put to good use going forward.
Good, excellent stuff. And they can, best way to do it is to go to the Chelsea Sports Trust website and they can find info there, right?
Correct. Yeah.
ChelseaSupportersTrust.com. Very easy. Just another thing before we get back into the football, we should say a massive, massive happy birthday to three Chelsea players.
Yes.
All of whom are close to our hearts. I mean, the first one, particularly this show, because he's been on it more than any other player and we love him to pieces, and that's Canners. It's his birthday today. It's Gary Stanley's birthday today, a much loved player from the era that you were talking about earlier, JK. But of course, the absolutely brilliant legend, one of many people's favourite players, and he's not too well at the moment, and that's Joey Jones, isn't it, Mark?
Sir Joey Jones.
Sorry, Sir Joey Jones. My mistake. Joey Jones.
If Mickey Thomas was here, he would chastise you. It is the legend that is Sir Joey Jones. Now, Joey's not in good health, and sadly, Gary isn't in the best of health either. So, you know, happy birthday to both of those and to Canners as well. I sent a message wishing Canners a happy birthday today. I hope he has an absolutely splendid day. He's just a lovely, lovely man and a big friend of this fan cast.
Indeed they are. Well, happy birthday to all three of them, all fondly remembered and loved by us lot, and particularly Canners, of course, because he's a good mate of ours. Right, I've managed to try and swerve this for as long as I physically have been able to do it, JK. But I did talk to a few of you after the match. Tony and I were quite curious as to what was going on. In fact, we were seeing WhatsApp messages from I think Mark posted a couple, you might have done. My mate John Gordon quite often keeps in touch with me when I'm not around. And, I mean, John was saying it's turned toxic. You were saying that they're chanting. I mean, they were basically, from what I understand, I better not. Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously I wasn't there. So for me, it's hearsay. But Bowley, Bowley, you're a Gareth. Yes or yeah. No?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
I don't know what they sung about Poch. I mean, I know about.
Can I give you the order? Roman Abramovich first. Bowley, right. Bowley, you're a Gareth. What was the third one, Mark?
The first one was Fuck Off Maurizio. That was the first one.
Right.
You know, I heard the first one as being Roman Abramovich.
No. The first one was Fuck Off Maurizio. Then it was Roman Abramovich. Then it was Todd Bowley's a Gareth. And then they started singing for Mourinho.
That's right. Well, I got it weirdly the other way. I got Mourinho was the third one. And they told Maurizio to fuck off in the fourth one. But anyway, whatever. Those were the.
Well, they did it more than once.
They did it more than once. Yeah, it went on. And then we scored. We scored, and everybody got tied up in the moment, didn't they? So it didn't happen again.
Well, no, I think what happened is because I was quite surprised when it happened and how quickly. And to be fair, like, it wasn't the whole of the Chelsea away end. I'd say it was a proportion of them. It wasn't everybody. And as soon as the chant started, very quickly, people started doing the Chelsea chant as well. So it happened. It wasn't continuous. It didn't go on for, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, like, for example, the Don't Worry About Thing chant would go. But I was quite surprised how quickly the crowd turned so early in the second half. I understand people were frustrated.
Was it after the second goal, Brentford's second
after
goal?
It was after the second goal went in, yeah. And there was still time left because, as I said earlier, we let Brentford back in the game, but they weren't particularly good in terms of defence. They were good up top, but they weren't good in their defence. And no sooner did we make a change and we pushed at them for the latter part of the game, as JK said earlier, we got a really good goal with Dizazi. And if it had gone on for 5 minutes longer, we probably would have won the game. But for that short moment, for a few minutes, there was a lot of unhappy people in that away end, no question.
But it almost reflects the whole the up and down, the Jekyll and Hyde quality of the whole thing, because it happens within the half as well. Is there's a moment of excellence with a really good move and we don't score, or the shot is the final part of the move doesn't work because nobody has a shot at goal or it's blocked, and then suddenly we're shit again. So it was almost part of it. You suddenly thought, oh, everybody's hating this. But then we played quite well, so everybody stopped singing that. You know, it was part of it. You just think, you know, they suddenly appreciated they have made more of an effort.
As I said, it was short-lived because he did make a substitution. I think they scored, I think Rizza's overhead kick was on 69 minutes and Poch made a substitution within 5 minutes. It was a very quick substitution.
But he brought on Mudryk,
Mudryk came on. So there was a bit of a like, come on, Mudryk. Yeah, so there was a bit of that, and then the Chelsea chance and all that. But it was short-lived, but you could not have missed it. And it's no surprise all the press picked up on it. It wasn't quiet. It wasn't sort of like murmuring. You could clearly hear it in the away end. You'd heard it in other parts of the ground. I know people, you know, sitting in other parts of the ground as well, and they could hear it loud and clear. So if any of the board were there, I know Todd Bowley was in Bahrain for the Grand Prix. I know Barley was there. They would have heard it.
Does Bowley own part of the Grand Prix, do you think?
No, that's not his interest. You know, his interest is in the film interest, I think. I don't think Clearlake have got motor racing interests. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I mean, we know because we were very close to it, you know, when they were in the bidding process, Mark. And, you know, Todd Bowley was front and centre of all of that. Met. I mean, I didn't get to the meetings because I was busy, but I know you did and Dom and a few others.
Yep.
He was front and centre. But he is not the only one. I mean, Egg Bally apparently is taking much more of a hands-on role than Todd Bowley. And then there's this Feliciano bloke as well. You know, it's Clearlake who are the issue.
Okay. Isn't it Jose Feliciano? Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
His face went a bit despairing. Sorry, I do apologize.
What were you talking
little
about?
Little face went a bit.
Mine?
Yeah, just
No, not really. Yeah, No.
I deserve it.
No umbrage at all.
I wanted to sing the Jose Feliciano song, but I won't.
Well, so. No, if you want to, I'm not going to stop you.
No, it's too late now.
Okay, the moment's gone.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a bit of a loss, really. But never mind. It may come back. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, I may.
Now your little face is looking a bit crestfallen.
No, because I'm ashamed that I interrupted you. You're in mid-flow.
It's not at all. Don't even think about it. I mean, basically, it's Clearlake. That's the issue. But Bowley's the lightning conductor for that. And I think it means that Egg Bally's getting away with it, as I said on the show a few weeks ago. I've no problem in them getting stick for all the shit and stuff that they've caused. I have no problem, really, in people... I don't have any problem with people chanting what they like, actually. They pay their money. They're entitled to do what they like. I don't have a problem with... You and I were talking about this, Mark, weren't we, yesterday? And I've got no problem with people singing Roman Abramovich because it pisses everybody else off outside of Chelsea, which always amuses me. But, you know, it's also making a point that this probably wouldn't be happening had he not had to sell the club. I can't, for the life of me, get my head round singing for Jose Mourinho because people seem to have very short memories about the fact that he led us to something like 17th in the league before he was fired for being so toxic and upsetting everybody. Not to mention he went to United and dissed us. Not to mention he went to Spurs and dissed us. And not to mention the fact that he's a bit of a busted flush. Yes, okay, he's our greatest ever manager. I know, I was there. Blimey, bless you, Mark. Bless you, Mark.
Mark almost burst into a parallel universe there. Did you see that?
that was like frightening. I'm frightened by that.
Wow.
You know, look.
He went all shimmy and I thought, oh, God. And as if I thought a different Mark would come back.
Well, maybe a different Mark has come back. Look, Mourinho. I love Mourinho. He is without doubt our greatest ever manager. I remember it because I was there. But it's gone. It's in the past. He is not that manager anymore. And him coming back is not going to make a blind bit of difference.
But aren't they just, sorry to interrupt, aren't they just singing it because they want somebody to sing for who isn't a...
No, a cry for Roman or a chant for Roman and a chant for Jose is not about Roman and Jose. It's a chant for the return to Chelsea winning.
Yes.
Because that is what is missing.
And no, that is no. I think there's a bit also is a chant for Mourinho because actually there was one guy near to me when they started chanting for Mourinho, he was going, oh, for fuck's sake. If you're going to chant for someone, he said, chant for Ancelotti. And people go, yeah, that'll make a bit of sense.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
But it is. What's the Ancelotti chant? I can't remember it.
Jose Mourinho. Frankie Lampard, Didier Drogba, and it's that one.
Yeah, but it doesn't come to mind, does it? I think it's, you know, Jose Mourinho is an easy one.
Mate.
Because it's Jose Mourinho, Jose Mourinho.
I know.
It's Ancelotti.
But if you look,
come on, baby, light my fire. Just wanted to.
If you look on social media over the last 48 hours, there is a lot of activity around people wanting Jose back and JT as his number two.
Yeah, but it's retarded, frankly. But the point is that I know why people are doing it. People are doing it because what it symbolizes is we used to sing this all the time. We want our Chelsea back. What they want back is Chelsea that wins shit, is elite, is at the top of the tree, not the mid-table wank that we've got now. So I get why people are using Abramovich and Mourinho as that bellwether, if you like. So I don't have a problem with it, because if I'd have been there, you know what? I'd probably have been singing it too, because I like a bit of...
When Jose Mourinho was mentioned, I went, no, not him. I went,
But you see, there's the difference. I can sit here and talk to you guys and be sensible and go, oh, come on, don't be stupid. But if I'm there in the middle of a crowd, I'm a bit of an insurrectionist at heart. Yeah, you know that.
I agree.
But if it's going to piss people off, I'm going to sing it. And I would have done.
But lots of people are like you are singing that just because it's one of... people off. Yeah, we're fed up with this. We don't want this. But are we going to debate now whether we think that that Pochettino actually should go?
Only if you're bored of me talking about this, which you clearly are.
No, I'm not in the slightest. I wouldn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. Let's talk about the final one, you know, which was fuck off Maurizio. That's the first time I've heard.
Well, I know. I mean, this is a good point, actually. I mean, the messages that I was getting were, he's lost the away support. He's done for, you know, because basically if you lose the away support, it's not a good look, because they are about the most loyal of the supporters that we have. So it kind of does beg the question, has he really lost the away support? I mean, is he a goner? Does he have himself to blame? I mean, he's not exactly endeared himself to the supporters, as we've been saying on the show for weeks.
Why doesn't he come over?
I agree, mate.
Why doesn't he? What the fuck is that about?
Build a relationship with the supporters, because they're the ones who could save your bloody arse, mate.
I would say he lost it for 5 minutes. As I said, I was really surprised that they turned very quickly when that second goal went in. But the fact that he made a substitution, and on the back of that substitution, we got back in the game, he probably saved his own arse, because had we lost the game 2-1, I would have understood the away end getting hacked off and all the things that followed, because we've lost the game. In the same way, when we lost at home to Wolves in that second half, when Wolves scored this, you know, the crowd turned then. But up until that point, as I've said on previous shows, what are we? We are supporters. You're there supporting the team. But when it doesn't look like it isn't going your way, you know, some people will then turn on the player or turn on the opposition. And I just thought it was very early to do that, so early in the second half when there was so long to play. So he managed to salve it. But yeah, I agree. I think you have to build a connection as a manager. Sarri never built a connection, and we know how that ended up. We know what happened to him. And I don't know why, but from day one, you know, maybe, you know, Pochettino, it might take him a while. I don't know what he did at Southampton and Spurs in terms of building that rapport, how long it took. I'm not even saying it's the go full Mourinho running down touch lines and sliding on his knees when we score goals, or jumping into the crowd like Ancelotti, or, you know, or high fiving. But something, and JK said it there as well. Even though we were Jekyll and Hyde, a large proportion of the players did come over. They gave their shirts to the crowd and they got a good response. They weren't jeered. Yeah. Pochettino could have come over at the end. He could have come up. Even Potter last season, to Potter's credit, there were many times yet Potter did come out and he clapped the supporters. And I think the other thing as well, you know, is, what he said afterwards, I'm trying to figure out, was he protecting the players or protecting himself? Because he was basically saying, like, quite rightly, don't blame the fans, which I thought, yeah, he's not having a go at the fans. Well, he said, they need to show their frustration, but I'd rather they show their frustration at me rather than the team. I am strong. I'm sure in that time, you know, we will change that perception. I don't want them blaming. Players need to feel backed. And to be honest, I prefer that I get the blame. I don't care. I am strong. I am 52. These things that he kept saying. Now, yes. Who's he saying?
It's age. Yeah. It's age. What's he saying? I'm twice the age of the kids. Is he saying that?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't, well, first I heard, I thought, well, fair play to him. He's carrying the responsibility for that. He's deflecting it off the players, which is the right to do. He's the manager. The buck stops with me. But who's he communicating that to? Is he saying that because he's talking to the press? Is he giving a message to the fans, or is he giving a message to the board?
Yeah, good point. Yeah. It's certainly a message to somebody, isn't it?
It's a message. There's a message to somebody there. Because when you're in that role of where you're regularly communicating and you're being quoted, you have to be, someone's got to be hearing what you're saying. Who are you talking to? Who is your communication to? Are you doing it to the press boys and girls? Are you doing it to the board? Are you doing it to the supporters?
It's a very good question, Mark. Very good question. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of what he, who knows? I don't know the guy. It's really difficult, isn't it, to get a sense of who somebody is from a distance. But my gut feeling is that he's in a sense, he's actually a player's manager. You know, that important relationship for him is the one that he has between him and his players. And I think he's in a very paternal role because, of course, they are so young and inexperienced. So I think he's probably always trying to protect the players. And maybe he's just not as gregarious as a lot of other managers we've had or that are around, people like, you know, Klopp, for example. Conte's one that we had, Mourinho, of course. Maybe it's just not his style to engage with us in that way. I'm afraid for him, he has made a monstrously strategic error here, because I'm afraid Chelsea is a club where if you were managing this club, you need to have a relationship with the supporters, because that's what we demand. Yeah. I know this is going to sound a bit weird, so don't send me to kind of like, you know, jail for this, but we are a bit similar to Liverpool fans in that respect. It's about, we need a connection. We need a connection with the guy who manages. This is why Mourinho was perfect for us in the same way that Klopp was perfect for Liverpool, in completely different ways. But Mourinho was the perfect manager for us. It was like us against the world, fuck everybody else. And he would make that connection with us. And managers like that really work with us. Although I do think, you know, there was a great connection with Carlo, who was completely different. I get that. But we talked about Mourinho a minute ago. This is why people still love the guy, because he represented what we are about. And that is what Klopp has done so brilliantly at Liverpool. He connected with that city and the Liverpool fans in that city. He was their representative on earth, as it were. And we need that. We demand that. And if you ignore that, you ignore it at your peril. And as Mark rightly said, Sarri ignored it at his peril. Any manager, AVB, ignored it at his peril. Big Phil Scolari ignored it at his peril. I mean, the world is littered with managers who did not connect with the Chelsea supporters, you know. So this will be his undoing, in my opinion. And I have to say, I think it's a great shame, because I think there is a good manager in there. I don't think it would be the right decision to let him go. I really don't. I just think we'd be back to square one again. We've already wasted 2 years. We'll be wasting another year while the players get to know a new manager. They're young, and I don't think that will help losing another manager. And I don't think he's lost the dressing room. I think they play for him. I think they like playing for him. I mean, going back to what I said, he is a player's manager, and I think he protects them, puts an arm around them, you know, tries to get the best out of them that way. So, you know, I think getting rid of him, I think, would be a mistake. And I think it would just put us back again. And I really, really don't think that'd be the right thing to do.
And that's the frustrating part, because everything I hear about Pochettino is exactly that. He is well liked by the players. Sorry, JK.
Look at his face. Just look at his face. Sorry, Mark. Carry on what you're saying.
I wasn't making a very good point. I was just going to say that in the presser the other day, he did say if the players don't fit, the profile doesn't fit, they'll change them. And that was the first time I heard him actually saying that. I think he said that early on in the season, where he said, yeah, there'll have to be some changes. But I almost feel that's a window into his longevity in the job, because I think they're happy to. I know that they in the past would have said, yeah, you can stay, you know, to keep the project going. But I wonder whether he's got a different relationship with them. His
his inability, his caginess, his tactfulness whenever he's asked about Connor as well. He always says nothing to do with me. It seems to me indicative of somebody who knows how to behave with the upper echelons. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see him start again next season and some of these players to go and more players of his to be bought. Because the problem is, as you say, Chidge, if they do get rid of somebody, he'll want to have his own players, won't he? And we start again. So I suspect that he will continue. I just think I agree with you completely. He's got several things wrong.
He's not blameless at all, JK.
We don't see a plan, do we? This is the problem. We don't see. They seem just to be. They move the ball out from the back, down the wings, Palmer or Gusto, whoever, and somebody comes into the centre. And you think, I'm not seeing anything progress from particularly the middle of midfield. They seem to be absolutely the major. They don't. They're not. What are they doing? They're not playing a block. They're just playing a quite condensed defence and trying. They don't get the ball back as much as they did. I always keep quoting this. The team that played pre-season were a pressing side, pushed everybody to the side, very similar to Tuchel, with Nkunku and Jackson playing. And Nkunku clearly has been an absolute disaster because he was supposed to lead the line. And so he's been trying to make do all the way through. So perhaps that's in his favour for the club hanging on to him, because he would just say, I haven't been allowed to play the way that I wanted to, and we've been making do, and I'm trying to find a pattern for this to work, and it hasn't quite been working with the players we've got. So
I also, just to butt in, JK, it's not his team. It's not a team full of Poch-like players.
No.
I don't think he's got the players to play in the way that he wants to play.
Yeah, which is similar to the Tottenham with Dele Alli playing very fast forward from midfield and the ball. It's a bit Klopp-like, actually. Mm-hmm. We just haven't been doing it. But also, it seems to me that he would like to press, and I think they press, they're more energetic. Well, perhaps one of the problems is they're completely knackered in the second half. Mm-hmm. This is why we don't have the energy when they come out, because it's handling that, which has always been one of the problems. I remember when Liverpool first started under Klopp, they would press madly and then be completely exhausted in the second half, and they'd have to be a completely different side. And you wonder whether it's a fitness thing, and you wonder, why is that? Is this a training thing? Is this, you know, are they not doing the beep test well enough at Cobham? This is the problem with not having eyes, you know, at the training ground, because I suspect that Mudrik is wonderful in training, beats everybody and scores a goal, and it's just something happens. Well,
this is what they say about Madueke, isn't it?
Yeah, as well. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, he's great when he doesn't actually have to play against a team.
Yeah, he's fantastic in those metal men that he gets.
I'm also very good at that. But
I was always horrific with the cone. God, we put a cone on the pitch. Oh, bloody hell.
Mate, honestly, JK, you couldn't even beat a cone.
No, I could. I sent cones this way and every way.
Did you? Well, there you go. I mean, look, I think the other thing that needs to be said is that, you know, I don't think this is all. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, every manager at every football club, he's the one with his cock on the block. You know, he's the one you point the finger at when it's all going pear-shaped. And you know, understandably so to a large degree. But I think with Chelsea at the moment, context is everything. And I've said this in the past. I've said with what the owners have done in the last 2 years, I think Guardiola would struggle to get a tune out of this side. And I mean it. And I don't think this is all on Poch. I mean, you know, where does one start with the finger of blame? I mean, Putin, you could say, certainly Boris Johnson and his Tory government for using Chelsea Football Club as a political football. That's what happened. We know, don't we, Mark, how involved Sunak and Dries were in who had the say. They chose the bid. They chose who bought Chelsea Football Club. Now, I don't know. So this is all allegedly, but for all we know, a few backhanders might have been flying around. So, you know, they're culpable. And then, of course, you've got Clearwater and their idiocy over the last 2 years, you know. So I think there's a lot of other people to be pointing the finger at before you get to Poch. Although, as I said, I do not think he's blameless. So there you go. What do you think, Mark?
I don't think anybody is blameless. I think this is a collective. I think there's been a phenomenal amount of change to Chelsea Football Club over the last 2 years. stemming from Abramovich being the only oligarch involved in football that I can see that seems to have had any sanctions against him. Apologies if I've got that wrong.
Well, he wasn't even sanctioned in America, and they were sanctioning people too.
Exactly. So it does seem really, really strange. You know, we've got our directors of football. They're responsible for the recruitment. They're buying the players that Poch has to work with. I don't know how much of a say he has.
And who hired them? Who hired them?
And then they're appointed. And I think it's a broader thing. That's why Tim's article in CF2K is well worth reading, because he very much talks about communication. And if you don't communicate, people fill gaps and people make shit up. Yeah. And the blue
particularly people like me.
Yeah. Talk about conspiracies. So again, I think there's a collective within the club. And you've got, I heard it said at Brentford on Saturday, people who, regularly people, waiting to get orders, go every week. They don't feel a sense of connection. They feel disconnected to the players, to the manager, to the football club. They just don't, so they want to love the players. And I think it helps when players like Chilwell come over and give a shirt to a kid at the end and get applause. They want to connect with the manager. They want to connect with the club, because guess what? They don't want Clear Lake to fail. They want this club, it's their club, to be successful. They want us doing well in the league. They want us doing well in the cup. But for the lack of communication, people want to know, why haven't we bought a striker? People want to know what is happening about the ground. They want to know what's happening about ticketing. There's so many things supporters want to know. And because there is no... And don't get me wrong, Roman didn't do much communicating, but that was fine. We were winning stuff left, right and centre, and everything was tickety-boom. So I think in the absence, where we are at this present moment in time, I think some kind of communication strategy, a vision, your strategic approach, where is this club going? Even if the ownership turned around and sort of said, look, we are where we are, as politicians might do, this is going to take a while to fix, because obviously the mess we've been placed in, by Nadine Dorris and Boris and co. It's going to take us a while to build us back up. But this is our vision. This is our plan. This is where we want to be, et cetera, et cetera. People may not be happy about it, but at least they'd be explained to. So a conversation of some kind, I think, would be really, really helpful. And this is what Tim's making reference to in his article.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, the barefaced reality of it is, and you can argue the toss of me on this if you like, but I don't think any of this happens if we're winning. If we're winning games, if we're winning trophies. I think Chelsea supporters over the last 20 years have got so used to that, they're pretty much forgive anything. If whoever owns you or manages you is delivering winning games and winning trophies, we'll turn a blind eye, which sounds a bit of an awful thing to say about us all, but I do think it's true, JK.
I think if we won the League Cup the other day, we wouldn't be having these conversations.
No, I agree. I think even if we win the FA Cup, a lot might be forgiven. But, we will... These conversations don't happen. These chants don't get sung. These huge criticisms of Clear Lake don't happen if we're top of the league and we're winning trophies. I think it's that simple.
And I think the other thing I'd throw in as well is also include the manager in this as well. There was a bit about, as I was saying, who is Poch actually talking to? Actually, come out and talk to the supporters. Engage with the supporters. Because, again, you saw what happened to Potter. Potter became the casualty of the whole thing of us in this change process, project, whatever you call it, we are. And it just, as you often say, it just wasn't working for me. It wasn't working until Potter had to go. That's why I just think we need some stability. So although Poch is doing a lot of things that aren't the right thing to do at this present moment in time, who's to say if Pochettino went and whoever is out there, they're talking about Amorim from Sporting Lisbon, but who's to say this time next year and Amorim is our manager and we're 12 still in the Premier League and knocked out both cups, they won't be calling for his head or something. So there's probably a bit of self-preservation with Pochettino. It'd be harder to get rid of Pochettino if he's got the supporters on his side.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said earlier on, mate. I mean, he's made a strategic error there. Now, I don't know why he's not done it. Maybe it's part of his personality, yada, yada, yada. I should, you know, I can't wait till we get Ricky back on when we play Spurs, whenever that's rearranged for, and see what he has to say about Pochettino. Sadly, we won't have a Southampton supporter on this season, because it might be fun to ask them as well and see what he was like with them. But I don't actually remember, you know, him being very demonstrative with them either. You know, he's not a rabble rouser. He's not a, you know, come on, let's have it. You know, I just don't think he's like that. But it will do for him, because, as I said, I'll go back to what I said about the way that Chelsea supporters are. We like a connection. We do like a connection with our manager. We like to feel that they are our representative, and they are the, you know, the managerial embodiment of what we're about. You know, so well, this is a story that will run and run and run, I suspect, but not anymore, not for tonight anyway, because we do need to bugger off and think about, you know, Friday's show, really, because that's when we're back, obviously. In fact, yeah, talking of which, I haven't done the schedule yet, have I? So I don't know who's on with you and me, JK. So all will be revealed.
I'll have a song for them, don't worry.
Okay, well, it'll be one of the usual gang. I can tell you that much, all right?
And you can start swatting up, they played for both. Or have we done that already this season with Newcastle? No,
What, Newcastle? You've done that. You're not that I can remember.
Yeah, no, we've done Newcastle. We haven't got many left, actually. I think we've only got Leicester, because we obviously haven't done them this season. And we'll have West Ham. We haven't done West Ham.
Alan Birchnell got him right already, you see.
Leicester. I think I started it.
Steve Kemmer.
Forest. I started it, I think.
Yeah.
So, and we've played Liverpool since then. So, yeah, West Ham and Leicester will be that for they play West Ham. Yeah, right. As I said, me and JK will be back on Friday. We'll be obviously looking ahead to Monday night's match against Newcastle United, the Geordie Niche and the Horse Punchers. Maybe we'll get a supporter from them on, but they're a bit of a miserable bunch, so maybe not. I'll try, and I'll get a translator as well. And maybe we can wind them up a bit and go, so many goals! Which is my favourite clip of the week from TalkSport. Apart from Antti Niemi, he's no Finnish. I fucking love that. Anyway, we will be back on Friday, me and JK and somebody else who we haven't got asked yet, but there you go.
I thought we were doing off the post this week, no?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yes, we could do. What's my diary like? It's a bit buggered, actually, mate.
You'll have a few emails in after Saturday.
Do you know what, JK? We really need to do one. I mean, tomorrow I'm working from 8:30 in the morning until 8 in the evening, and I will be exhausted. I mean, you know, if I don't go swimming in the evening on Wednesday, do you want to do it on Wednesday? Because we've got to do it. You're right. We have to do it.
Yeah, let's try. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do it on Wednesday. I'll just not go swimming, which fucks me up totally.
No, go swimming. We could do it.
No. We need to do it this week.
Half Wednesday, half tomorrow night. I'll read them all, and you just go. Here's another one from John.
Yeah. Well, no. I tell you what. We'll do Wednesday. All right. I'll have some time to cobble it all together. All right. I can do that tomorrow night, and then we can do the show on Wednesday. So we'll do an in off the post on Wednesday. You can follow the show on all the social media at Chelsea Fancast, me at Stanfordshire, Jonathan at Jonathan Kidd, and Mark at Eddie Mac BAWA, which stands for Blue and White Army, doesn't it, Mark?
It does indeed.
Mark, as always, always a delight to see you. Do you know what, actually? You know, we've got an international break coming up, and I know it's going to be the same weekend as the Sleep Out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we might have to do another 50 years of Chelsea.
Yeah, we haven't done it for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe on the Monday night.
Where did we get to? Was it 2006-07? Was it I think it was.
I can tell you, because I've still got the DVD here. Yeah. That's why we're champions. I think we did, so that would have been the second year, wouldn't it?
So we'd have done 5-6, so we need to do 6-7.
Oh dear, I've scratched this to buggery. I hope it's all right.
So we're doing 6-7, chin up. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
So we've done 4-5, 5-6. So it'll be 6-7, won't it?
6-7, yeah. Chin up, Jose. Yeah, well,
let's try and do that one. Yeah. And maybe I'll do a Q&A on the Friday, because I'm in Wolverhampton on the Saturday, because I can't do the
you said it's a killing joke thing. Yeah,
it is. I'm sorry about that.
Absolutely fine. Yeah.
A bad diary clash, and this is going to piss you off as well. And I hate to do this kind of like from the safety of a TV screen, so you can't thump me. I'm going to see Misty and Roots after the Burnley game. Okay. So when you're going to do the SGM.
Okay. Yeah.
I know, he's so mellow, isn't he, JK? I don't deserve him. I don't deserve him.
and also, you've seen the message about the troubadour and Leicester.
Yes, I have. I know, that's a shame.
That's a shame. I'll do it then. I'll let our mystery guest know. We'll have to do it another time. Yeah.
Is he up for it?
He was up for it, yeah. We'll do it another time. It's fine.
Never mind. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
A bit stupid. Well, I mean, I wonder what event they've... If they've got that other fucking podcast in there, I'm going to be... Well, mind you, to be fair, they weren't to know that we were going to have an early Sunday kickoff that day.
True. Yeah, 12:45 is early. Yeah.
Yeah, well, never mind. Say la vie.
Is it the afternoon they've got the event, or is it in the evening, the event?
They said they're booked in the afternoon. They've got an event in the afternoon. Yeah. Oh, well, nay mind. Mark, it's as I said, absolute delight to see you as always. Keep up the good work. And what you lot really need to know is the amount of work that, I mean, he's the only person I know who's busier than me. And the amount of work he does for the supporters in this club, I tell you, they should have a bloody statue of him at Stamford Bridge. They really should. And, you need to appreciate him.
We've had conversations about statues of Stamford Bridge on this show before, haven't we?
We have, haven't we? Anyway, Mark, lovely to see you as always, mate. Hopefully you and I can catch up for a beer soon.
Well, again, I would say, are you doing the Leicester game?
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now we haven't got a troubadour gig. I think a socially responsible thing to do would be have a pint after the game.
I think that would be a very good idea. Yeah. Well, I'll be there for the Newcastle game, and I'm going to come along with you and Cliffy to the Founders thing. So,
of course, you've got Founders Day as well. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll see you for that. No. JK, my old shiner, my little gnome-like friend. Lovely to see you as always.
Shall I have a gnome song? Well, we're going to do Laughing Gnome, aren't we?
Yeah, Laughing Gnome. You've got to do. Yeah. Definitely Laughing Gnome.
I'm a Laughing Gnome, and you can't catch me.
And I've got a great song for Tony. Because I've told you this before, there's actually a Pixies song, which Mark will know this, which goes, Tony, Tony, Tony.
But shouldn't he also have the Joseph...
one's called Tony's song.
Yeah. Shouldn't he have the Grocer Jack, though? The Grocer Jack song, though?
Yeah, he could, but I like the Tony.
Is it true what Mummy said? You won't come back. No.
Yeah, mate, get them all. I mean, you know, we can't play any of them because we'll get buggered stupid by copyright.
Yeah, but if we play them badly, they'll never be able to notice the copyright. Okay, or if I sing them badly, nobody's going to know.
That's the worst legal defence I've ever heard.
Nobody's going to come in, are they? Say, you know, you played excerpt from a teenager.
They will, mate. They will. Okay,
the 315 people watching this are going to complain, are they?
Mate, it says here, right, because you can play background music, right? And I said, this is on our StreamYard thing, people. It says, add music to your streams and recordings using one of our royalty-free tracks, which will be totally shit. You won't have any copyright issues on the social platforms. So there you go. So they're on it. And I tell you what, YouTube are the worst, mate. They stop your video if they think you've... I mean, I'm amazed they haven't stopped us yet because of the getting by and only just. You know, so...
The video I did of the Porto Champions League win... when they played We Are the Champions by Queen at the end, and I just videoed it, they've taken all the sound off it for copyright reasons.
And that's actually wrong, because that's called fair... You can fair deal that. It's incidental.
Fair usage, yeah.
They don't fucking know anything. I mean, obviously, I used to know this as a TV producer of some repute. As in a TV producer who used to nick things a lot like that. And I would say, no, mate, fair dealing. Fuck off, you know. So, anyway... What are you gonna do? Not a lot. Right, JK, lovely to see you as always. We have a date on Wednesday by the sounds of it, which is fantastic. I'm looking forward to that already.
Me too.
Yes, indeed. Now, thank you also to the lovely people who have been listening and watching. We will see you on Friday when we will be... we'll see you on Wednesday when we'll be back for an In Off the Post. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it chills. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.